This is KDLL 91.9 FM, Kenai, Soldotna. I'm Jenny Nyman. Marty Anderson is running for re-election to the Sterling Funny River School Board seat he has held since 2003. Anderson was out of state for work during our Kenai conversation with other candidates for the Sterling Funny River seat, so we followed up with him by phone. So first off, Mr. Anderson, can you tell us about yourself, why you're running, and what experience and perspective would you bring to the school board?
My name is Marty Anderson. I've lived in Sterling since 1993. I've been on the school board since 2003, and some other positions I've worked on is I worked on the Alaska Workforce Development Board appointed by Governor Palin and Governor Parnell. And I've worked as a president of one of the local chambers of commerce, and also I've worked with the Blue Ribbon Task Force, which was a vocational education task force, and been heavily involved in working with education probably for the last 16 or 17 years. So I think my 15 years on the school board, working with both state and federal legislators, I have the experience and being able to get the district's work done. I think understanding how the district works and how our funding works and being able to work with our local legislators, including the borough assembly, is very important because our funding comes from those three specific sources, the federal government, the state, and the borough.
What would your priorities be if you're reelected?
Well, I have three. One of them has been a priority, I believe, since I've been on the school board, and we've actually only obtained it for a few years under Mike Chenault and Mike Hawker, and that is to be able to establish some kind of sustained funding. Every year it's pretty much the same. We know what our staff is going to have to be, yet we don't know what the state's going to give us. We don't know what the borough's going to give us. And so we're trying to establish the budget basically, you know, on guesswork and then trying to secure a staff surrounding that. It's a really terrible way to do business, but it is the way that it's set up. I'd like to get that changed by working with both our state and borough people where we have some kind of forward funding. We actually know what our budget's going to be so we can make promises to our staff and know exactly how we're going to spend our money. That would be one priority. The other priority that is near and dear to me is school security and safety. I've really been working close with our superintendent. I've attended some classes and training on school security. I think the day and age we live in, that's a real issue. And I believe as a school board, it's our responsibility to make sure that students and teachers are safe at their workplace. Just in discussions, I can tell you that feeling is not necessarily shared throughout my associates, that some feel it's really not an issue. I actually do believe it's an issue. We've had a school shooting in Alaska, and it can be a serious situation. I would say that the third priority that I have is to continue to focus on graduation rate, and to make sure that our students, whether they're going to go to school afterwards to college or go into the workforce, that they can be self-sufficient when they graduate. Myself, I'm a product of vocational education, and I think it's important for us not to lose sight that we are a resource development state and that not all of our young people go to college, and those that don't go to college have to come out with some skills that they can offer an employee and have a value to the workforce.
Moving on to funding, how do you feel about the school district's current level of funding? Should the district be seeking more money from the state or the borough, or should the district live within its means?
Well, that's a difficult question, and the reason I say that is we have a fixed cost. So if we have schools in Hope and Soldovia and Tyonic and Voznesenka, or wherever the schools are at, those schools have to be there in order for the students to have a place to be educated. There's a fixed cost associated with operating the building, having teachers there. So with that being said, we also have a reduction of student space across the district. And we've seen about a 2% drop per year in the 15 years that I've been there. So what that means is that each student that leaves our district or that we don't have, that student-based allocation, which is roughly around $6,000 per student, goes away. And so even though our cost of following the driveways and running the buses and everything is the same, the revenue that we're generating is less. And that is a constant battle for the district to maintain the same level of service and education. So living within our means, I think we've been doing that for a long, long time. And I think we've actually implemented several survival skills to make that happen. It's difficult. We travel 7,000 plus miles per day, and we have 42 schools located throughout an area the size of West Virginia. So that infrastructure is an expensive infrastructure operating in the state of Alaska. Some schools we can only reach by water or by air. So that's an expensive cost. I think that the funding that we receive has been adequate, but absolutely not extra. And so the district has been very creative in cutting costs and saving money, but the fact remains that we've got 42 schools, with several of those being in isolated areas, and that's an expensive operation.
The district has been cutting its budget since fiscal year 2015. If more budget cuts need to be made, where should those cuts happen? Or, if more money becomes available, how should it be spent?
Well, I'm going to go for the positive first because I'm a positive guy. If we were to receive more money and we had more funding, I would say our counselors at the schools are extremely important. We have, I'm obviously out of state right now, so I don't have numbers in front of me, but we have a very large amount of our students who are on free and reduced lunch. We have students who are attending school who are homeless and live in their cars or what we call couch surfing. So there's a lot of challenges that require a lot of interaction with counselors and students to make sure that those students not only get their education but their welfare is important and that they're safe. And so I think counselors are important. I think that our nurses are important, our libraries are important. We've got a lot of what we would consider peripheral activities around education that are extremely important in giving a student a well-rounded education. So those are areas that are near and dear to me. As the cost of education increases and our funding stays flat or reduces, unfortunately, we're not like the federal government where we can just print money. Where would I cut? That's probably the most difficult question you could ask me because there's nothing over 15 years that we haven't turned over a rock and looked at where we could cut. The area that I don't want to go for sure is PTR, pupil-teacher ratio. I don't want to put more students in front of the same teachers. I think it's detrimental. You have to start looking at, can we change bus routes, which I know we've looked at on the South Peninsula. Can we do more distance education? Those are areas where we can maybe reduce costs. But I can tell you that after 15 years, we've about exhausted where we can cut costs and still provide the education that our students need.
What should the district be doing to increase graduation rates?
Well, we've done a lot of things. We've gone to individual learning plans to make sure that we look at each student and not just a curriculum that we're pushing at each student. I know my own son, my youngest son, had an individual learning plan, and he had some challenges. The district was very good at helping with those. We have looked at our students that English is a second language, and how do we address that, which is our Russian population, our native student population, making sure that We address the specific needs required for someone whose English is a second language. We have really spent a lot of time on our Connections program for students that are maybe homeschooling. I attended the Connections graduation this past May, and I can tell you, it was my first graduation at Connections, and I was pleasantly blown away just the caliber of students that were there. And those students were students that maybe were detached from our district, and now they are attached to our district through our Connections program. I think that our central office has done very well in including and changing and developing individual learning to make sure that that student's needs are met. We have a population of needs students, special needs students. We've looked at how we address those to make sure that that student gets the best education that they can. And so those are the areas where we have focused, and I think we can continue to focus to make sure that we increase those graduation rates.
And final question, is the district doing a good enough job preparing students for life after graduation, whether that be college, training programs, or the workforce? What else could or should be done?
I strongly believe that we are. I know that we have a program where we reach back into students who have graduated from our district in the past. We send out surveys to find out where those students are at. Did they go to college? Did they go into the workforce? Where are they working? That's a program, I think, that has provided feedback and information. I know that we have dual credit, and we have advanced placement courses where the students can go to college and do college courses while they're in high school. I've known some students that have graduated from our district that have had almost enough credits for an associate's degree when they leave high school. And so we're very aware. What can we do better? I think that maybe the district can spend a little more time. We have a very small central staff, and I know they do the best they can. But I think we can have some liaisons to our industries and maybe a little bit more information coming from those industries on what are the needs. Are those needs operators in the oil field? Are they pilots for aviation? Just making sure that we stay ahead of the game and what are the actual job needs in Alaska. I know there's a huge need for medical individuals in the state. And not only reaching backwards on the students that have graduated, but also looking forward with the various industries and making sure that we know what those market demands are so we can prepare our students accordingly.